Once again this week, say the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Last week we just started discussing the Apostles' Creed. And this is something we don't want to do just talking about mechanically. We wanted to realize that this isn't just something we do to get through so we can get to the sermon, so we can get out of here, so we can go have lunch. That's hopefully not why you're hoping things were running this way. But this is actually a summary of 2,000 years of Christian theology. It's a summary of what we believe as Christians. Actually, creeds precede Christianity. Ancient Israel had its own creed. Verses from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 4, known as the Shema. They are a central creed to Judaism to this day. Almost in every synagogue, the Shema is said every morning. Shema Israel, Adonai Elohim, Adonai Adah. By the way, if you know Hebrew, you know I just slaughtered that. It says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is God. The Lord is one. The New Testament had its creeds. We find in Philippians chapter 2, verse number 6, says, Who in the very nature of God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him a name above every name. The name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Most scholars believe that this actually wasn't just something that Paul wrote. It was a creed, something that each one small church they learned to sort of memorize to the essential of who Jesus was. Because if you realize Christianity is about Christ. Without Christ, there is no Christianity. I've heard some people who wear the robes and claim the title Reverend, but they say, we don't actually believe in Jesus. We don't believe. Some actually said that they don't believe in Jesus was even a historical person. To which I'm saying, have you read anything historical lately? 200 years ago, yeah, people could say that. Now, the proof is out there. The only reason you can deny some of the miraculous things Jesus says or said and did is if you want to say, well, that can't happen. Because the historical evidence says those things did happen. We need to have this idea of what we believe, and that's what a creed does. A creed reminds us of what we believe. No creed says everything about God, because God is so much bigger. In fact, God is bigger than the Bible. I know that sounds crazy for some people, because we should think a lot of the Bible, but God is bigger than the Bible. That doesn't mean God does things that are against what's in the Bible, by the way. That just means God is beyond what could be put in print. But God gave us His Word. And I don't know about you, but I can't remember all of this. I remember portions of it. And since I've gone back and tried to remember and see how much of those things I still remember, I realize how small of those things I remember. But when it comes to Christianity, what sums up? What do we believe? And the Apostles' Creed does that. It isn't in the Bible, but it was created by those who believe the Bible. The apostles didn't write it, but those who knew the apostles' doctrine wrote it. Creeds are part of that early movement to remind people what we believed before the days of print, before the days of having the sermon on every internet site, or how day before we had print so popular. But this version of the Apostles' Creed starts out, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth. There are many who look at this and get caught up in the fact of how can God be almighty if bad things happen? But we do believe that. God is almighty. I don't want to spend a lot of time on that, but let me tell you something. God can do what he wants to do. We don't always understand why God doesn't do what we want him to do. I've shared with a couple of you a story. Years ago, I prayed for somebody, and they were instantly healed of a migraine. Miraculously. It's just, I've not seen anything quite like that since. They have never had a migraine since. And they suffered it for years before that. And when I'm saying years ago, I'm talking about 30 years ago, when I was a lot younger. And they have not had a migraine since. God's almighty. You know what? I suffer from migraines. My wife suffers from migraines. My daughter suffers from migraines. And you know, there has been a time or two, I'll be honest, where I have looked at God and say, why not me? When my little girl was suffering. And I'll just say, this will pass. I know how bad it hurts. And I prayed, and God didn't miraculously heal. I've asked, God, if you're almighty, why aren't you doing this? But let me tell you something, that's because of my understanding, not because of his lack. And that's another thing I want to point out. God is almighty. He can do whatever he wants. Excuse me. But he doesn't always do what we want. In fact, he rarely does what we want. Excuse me. In fact, let's be honest though. If we look back at our lives, if you've been around very long, aren't you glad that God didn't do some things you wanted? That person you thought you were in love with. Oh my goodness, aren't you so glad you didn't marry them? But God is almighty. God is also the creator of heaven and earth. Romans chapter 1 makes it very clear that God is evident in creation. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time here talking about why we need to believe in God and the proofs of God. They're out there. That's also another message. Thus again, if we're going to call ourselves Christians, we have to believe in God. And this isn't just some God who's some created being who somehow found some magical stones that made him the power to do things when he wanted, when he snapped his fingers. For those of you who watched Marvel, you just caught that reference. The rest of you, don't worry about it. God isn't a created being. God is outside of time and space, and He created it all. So God is more than we can imagine. He is the one who put everything in place. And the God we serve as Christians is God Almighty, the one who made it all, the one who's outside of it all. Why can He change things? Because He made it. Why can He do a miracle? Because He made the laws excuse me, that cover the universe. So He can bend them or break them if He wants to. So we believe in God the Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Originally, the creeds were created to deal with problems at the time. The Nicene Creed, which came up in the 4th century, emphatically affirmed the deity of Christ. It was directed against the Arians, who denied that Christ was fully God. The Apostles' Creed originated in the 2nd and 3rd century. The hot issue then was Gnosticism, because some believed that the God of the Old Testament, who created the world, was actually evil, because matter was evil. The spirit was good, the body was bad. Therefore, you could do whatever you wanted to in the body because it didn't matter, as long as your spirit was pure. Kind of like the person who says, I have good intentions. Yeah, you may have good intentions, but what you're doing isn't right. But God, the Bible, isn't a God that says the spirit is good and the body is bad. No, God created this. God created our world. It's this reality, what we have, the flesh. God originally said it was good. Yeah, we've messed it up a bunch. But God in His creation said it was good. The Gnostics wanted to deny that. Of course, they also wanted to deny that Jesus came in the flesh. Because God couldn't come, a good God couldn't come in the flesh because the flesh was bad. So Jesus came as an illusion. But we know what Christianity teaches. We know what the Bible teaches. What the apostles taught. In Matthew chapter 1, it says, in verse number 18, how the birth of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph was a husband, was faithful to the law, and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived from her is of the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son and give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place that might be fulfilled, said through the prophet, the virgin shall conceive and give birth to a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary as his wife, but did not consummate their marriage until she had given birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. See, the next part of the Apostles' Creed says, we believe in Jesus. His only son, meaning the Father's only son, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. Old versions used to say the Holy Ghost. Modern versions have changed that because a lot of times when you think ghost, you think Casper. That's not the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is something more than that. In fact, when we think about the Holy Spirit, it's sort of implied in the creed that we have a God that is of three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, often called the Trinity. During St. Patrick's Day and this time of year, I always like to go back and watch a little video that talks about the Trinity. We're going to see if it works here today.
O Okay, Patrick, tell us a bit more about this Trinity thing.
Yeah, Patrick, tell us.
But remember that we're simple people without your fancy education and books and learning, and we're hearing about all of this for the first time. So try to keep it simple, okay, Patrick?
Yeah, real simple, Patrick.
Sure, there are three persons of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, yet there is only one God.
Don't get what you're saying here, Patrick.
Not picking up what you're laying down here, Patrick.
Could you use an analogy, Patrick?
Sure. The Trinity is like water and how you can find water in three different forms. Liquid and ice and vapor.
That's modalism, Patrick!
What?
Modalism, an ancient heresy confessed by teachers such as Noetus and Sibelius, which espouses that God is not three distinct persons, but that he merely reveals himself in three different forms. This heresy was clearly condemned in Canon 1 at the First Council of Constantinople in 381 AD, and those who confess it cannot rightly be considered a part of the Church Catholic. Come on, Patrick!
Yeah, get it together, Patrick!
Then the Trinity is like the sun in the sky, where you have the star and the light and the heat.
Oh, Patrick.
Come on, Patrick.
That's Arianism, Patrick.
Arianism?
Yes, Arianism, Patrick. A theology which states that Christ and the Holy Spirit are creations of the Father and not one in nature with him. Exactly like how heat and light are not the star itself, but are merely creations of the star. That's a bad analogy, Patrick.
You're the worst, Patrick.
All right, sorry. The Trinity is like this three-leaf clover here.
I'm going to stop you right there, Patrick.
Yeah, hold your horses, Patrick.
You're about to confess partialism.
Partialism?
Yes, partialism, a heresy which asserts that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are not distinct persons of the Godhead, but are different parts of God, each composing one-third of the divine.
And who confesses the heresy of partialism?
The first season of the cartoon program Voltron, where five robot lion cars merge together to form one giant robot samurai, obviously.
I've never heard of Voltron.
Of course you haven't. It's not going to exist for another 1,500 years now, Patrick.
Yeah, get with the program, Patrick.
I mean, really, Patrick.
I'm going to stab you in the face, Patrick.
Okay, that was probably a bit much.
All right, I'll try again. The Trinity is like how the same man can be a husband and a father and an employer.
Modalism again.
All right, then it's like the three layers of an apple.
Partialism revisited.
Fine, the Trinity is a mystery which cannot be comprehended by human reason, but is understood only through faith and is best confessed in the words of the Athanasian Creed, which states that we worship one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance, that we are compelled by the Christian truth to confess that each distinct person is God and Lord, and that the deity of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is one, equal in glory, co-equal in majesty.
Well, why didn't you just say that, Patrick?
Yeah, quit beating around the bush, Patrick. Now let's all put on some giant green foam hats, get riotously drunk, and vomit in the Chicago River to celebrate our conversion.
So what do you guys do for a living?
Well, we come from a long line of snake farmers, Patrick, but truth be told, business has been real bad lately.
Oh. Yeah, about that.
For those of you who don't know, legend says that when St. Patrick came to Ireland, he prayed and God ran off all the snakes. That was the last joke there. The thing is, we can't always understand how it works. We have to accept it by faith. We know the Bible teaches it. God spent over 1,000 years directing the children of Israel to believe that God was one. And yet Jesus comes who says he is the Father, but yet prays to the Father. He says, I'm going to send the Spirit. But the Spirit is the Son and is God. How does this work? I don't know. It's beyond us. Remember I said that God is sort of beyond the Bible? Beyond even a creed? Because though we confess it, it cannot explain it perfectly because it's beyond who we are. But Jesus demonstrated that So as Christians, we come together and we affirm that Jesus came. He was born. Again, denying Gnosticism that said Jesus was just a spirit, just something to be there. But Jesus was born of a virgin. I had a hospice patient one time who was a very strong believer, and she came to me, she said, I have a question. That always kind of scares me when somebody wants to have a question about the Bible. Because they're like, okay, what are they going to come up with? I try my best, and sometimes I'll tell you, especially if you're in a Bible study, if you have a question, ask. I am not afraid to tell you. I have no idea. I think I just did that a minute ago when you asked me when I said about explaining the Trinity perfectly. Can't do it. Above my pay grade. She said, I have a question. I said, ask away. I'm praying, God, give me a good answer. This woman wants to make sure her faith is right with God. She said, how can a virgin conceive? Because there's got to be a guy there, right? And I paused a moment. And I said, well, if you consider that God created everything from nothing. Before I got any further, she said, I got it. That was easy. Wow. Thanks, God. I gave me the gift of evidently the perfect word. She realized that if God could create the entire universe from nothing, creating a baby and a woman probably isn't a hard deal. He could probably do it. He did do it without a guy being involved. God didn't come down and have sex with Mary or something like that. Something crazy. Some people who claim they're Christian believe that. No, that's not what happened. The Spirit came on her and something miraculous took place. God did a miracle. And God and man joined together. Jesus Christ was born. And part of the Christian faith is we believe that Jesus came, that God came in human form to walk with us, to be with us. I don't know about you, but if next Sunday, it'd be okay if he shows up next Sunday, but let's say Palm Sunday or Easter Sunday, one of our new bishops for the Globe Methodist Church would show up, how many think we might be a little impressed? I would be a little impressed. Because there are a lot bigger churches than us around. He showed up, we'd be honored, wouldn't we? It's like, wow. He said, well, I want to be here. I want to be with you because I think you guys have a special place in the Globe Methodist Church. And I believe God's going to work here in a mighty way. I'd be like, wow, thank you. I'd be honored. But how much more honored should we be? The fact that God emptied himself, as we read in Philippians, and became one of us and walked amongst us so that we might see God in a whole new way. The God we serve is not some God far away. He is God with us. Through Jesus, because he walked on this earth, and now through the power of the Holy Spirit, he lives within those who accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. And what makes Christianity different is because these are the things we believe. There are a lot of nice people out there, but they cannot truly claim they're Christian if they don't believe in God. If they don't believe in Jesus Christ, if they don't believe that he came and he walked this earth, and if they haven't made him Lord, because that's part of the creed. Jesus, our Lord. And he came so we could have salvation. Today, I want you to really take that to heart. The God of the universe came to save us. And if you aren't saved this morning, if you haven't committed your life to Jesus, then take a moment and ask Christ to come into your life. Ask forgiveness for your sins. Ask God to become Lord and Savior. Do you have to come to the altar to get saved? No, you don't. But if you want to, that's fine too. We'll pray with you. But Jesus is what makes the difference. Jesus is what makes Christianity Christianity. It's kind of in the name. Got that? And so we can celebrate today that Jesus came. We can celebrate that the Bible teaches us that Jesus walked this earth with us. Let's pray. Dear Father, I ask right now in the mighty name of Jesus that, Father, you would be with us in a special way as we sing this song together, and Lord, as we begin to conclude this service. We thank you for who you are and what all you mean to us. We praise you and honor you in your mighty name. Amen. And now, Father, I ask thee to be with each one as they leave this place today. God, be with them, Father, Son, and Spirit, with each person that is here. Lord, remind them of who you are and the way you want to work in their lives. Let fill their hearts with love and help them be ministers and your hands and your feet to this community. I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you.